Welcome to Starkville Church of God. This is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. I hope this inspires you, strengthens you, and fills you with God's love so you can share with others. Enjoy the message.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If you got it, would you say amen? Be reading from the NIV this morning. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, living life in the Spirit. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me as I do the same for you? Father, thank you so much for this Sunday morning, God. I know it's one of those Sunday mornings, God. We got two strikes against us already, Lord. We lost an hour's sleep last night. And it's spring break Sunday. A lot of people are out of town, Lord. But I thank you that, Lord, we still have a beautiful 9 o'clock crowd. I thank you, oh God, most of all, that you are here in our midst. And so I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that you'd open their hearts, their minds, and their spirits, that they would be good ground for the seed of the Word of God to fall on, and that it would produce a hundredfold harvest in the name of Jesus. Now, I ask that you'd help me, God. Lord, I'm your mouthpiece today. Lord, I am nothing but an earthen vessel. And I ask that you would anoint me and use me today. Give me the clarity of thought, the clarity of speech that I so desperately need. I ask, oh God, that you would just, Lord, let the Word of God be like fire shut up in my bones here today. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Turn around to four or five people, give them a fist bump, and tell them, wake up this morning. When we look back into the scripture, we can find when Israel left Egypt, we find that they left following the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. How many of you remember that? I'm going to refresh you. You know, used to you could preach, especially in a 9 o'clock service, and, you know, people would just be, you could just say, well, you know the story, but I don't want to just, you know, skim over it because there might be some that don't. But when Israel had been in Egyptian slavery for 400 years, the Lord had sent Moses, said, let my people go. The plagues had hit Egypt. Finally, when Pharaoh agreed to let Israel go, we find then that the Lord had sent his presence to his people. How many of you are glad that the Lord will go with us wherever we go? In fact, you'll find an instance where Moses is talking to the Lord. And at one point, the Lord says, I'm going to send you, but I'm not going with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, I don't want to go either. How many of y'all are like that here today? I don't want to go anywhere unless the Lord is going with me. I don't want to go down to Walmart unless the Lord is going with me. Come on, somebody, say amen. And so the Lord was with them. In the daytime, he was a cloud overhead. In the nighttime, he was a pillar of fire overhead. It was the visible representation of the abiding presence of the Lord at that time. We find that when it moved, they moved. The Lord said, whenever you see my cloud begin to move, that's when I want you to begin to pack up camp, pack up everything you have, and move with the cloud. And when it stopped, they were to stop. He said, when my cloud stops, that's when you stop. You set up camp, and you stay right there until my presence begins to move again. How many lessons? I'm telling you, I could preach a whole series of sermons. Stop right here. Don't panic. I'm not going to. But I could stop and preach an entire series of sermons right here about that very subject, that we would once again learn when to move when God moves and when to stop when God stops. We need to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. We find it gave them shade in the heat of the wilderness days. As Israel was out there in the wilderness, those days would become brutally hot, and the cloud would shade them from that Israeli sun. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad today that the Lord will give you shade in the heat of life when you need it?
it. I know it's hard for us. We kind of have this little cool snap here today. But folks, you know, and I know it won't be long here in Mississippi that we'll be in the middle of July or in the middle in those dog days of summer in August. And those days where you're out there and it's hot and it's humid and what you're just wishing for would be just a little bit of shade. God was their shade in the middle of the wilderness. I need to remind you today that even in the heat of your battle, even in the time in the middle of the wilderness, God can give you shade and give you relief from the heat that you're facing. But not only was he shade from the heat of the day, but he was warmth in the chill of the wilderness nights. Isn't it crazy how it can be burning up hot during the day, but after the sun goes down? Now here, we don't have that as much in the summertime because of our humidity. It just has, and it can be on fire in the day, and then it can be cold at night. And so the presence of the Lord was not only shade from the heat of the day, but that pillar of fire, it was the warmth that they needed in the middle of the wilderness at night. God can give you the warmth that you need when you feel cold, when you feel left alone. He is that heat. But not only did that pillar of fire do that, but that pillar of fire also kept away the wild animals, the wolves, the predators that would want to come into the camp and destroy them. God was the one who protected them. I didn't intend on stopping here this long. It's just too good. I can't help myself and preach it for just a little bit. I'm thankful today that the Lord is my protector when there's an enemy that wants to come in and kill and steal and destroy. I've got a Lord and Savior that is my protector that will build a hedge about me and keep the enemy from coming in. Somebody say amen. And as great as this was, we who live on this side of Calvary can live a life not just near the Spirit, not just looking at the Spirit way up in the sky in a distance. But we who live after Jesus has already come and given his life on Calvary, we can live a life actually in the Spirit of the Lord. How many of you are glad about that here today? I want to look at 7 scriptural references of living the life in the Spirit. Don't panic. I know it's 7. I see the clock. These are going to be quick, but I am going to give you 7. Number one, if you're taking notes, one of the first scripture references I find about living life in the Spirit is that God must be worshiped in the Spirit. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus was saying this. He said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in Spirit and in truth. Here Jesus is telling the woman at the well that God is Spirit and that to worship him, it must be done in Spirit and in truth. And the only way to worship in the Spirit and truth is to be in the Spirit. The Revised Version says this, "who worship in the Spirit of God." Can I tell you this? It's not a matter of position. It doesn't matter. How many of you know the Bible is chock full of ways that we can worship? The Bible says that we can lay prostrate before the Lord and worship. We can be on our knees and worship. We can have lifted hands and worship. We can shout and worship. We can sing and worship. We can worship in all kind of ways. The position doesn't really matter. You see, not only that, but we find not only does that not matter, but neither does the place matter. You see, right here at this point, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he said, she's like, "You Jews," and this going on deeper in this, I preached a whole sermon on this one time, and she said, "You Jews say we got to worship in Jerusalem, but we worship here." And Jesus was saying, "You don't even understand it. There's no sense in us even arguing about this anymore, because the time is now. It's not even going to be late. The time is now where true worshipers are going to worship me in spirit And in truth, can I tell you, the place does not matter. There is value in coming to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Absolutely there is. There is value in coming and worshiping together with God's people. But can I tell you something? That this place, 100 Loxley Way, is not the only place that you can worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord at your house. You can worship the Lord in your car. You can worship the Lord going down the street. You can worship the Lord in Kroger. You can worship the Lord in class. You can worship the Lord in your office. You can worship the Lord in the hospital. You can worship the Lord at the funeral home. You can worship wherever you want, as long as you worship in the Spirit.
Secondly, God's voice is heard and His glory is witnessed in the Spirit. The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 10, John the Revelator is writing here. He says this, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I'm just going to reiterate some of what I've already said. John the Revelator was not in the church house. John the Revelator was where? He was on the Isle of Patmos. Just in case you don't remember what the Isle of Patmos was, the Isle of Patmos was a former mining island. It was an island that was a prison island. You see, I was thinking about this time last year. We were getting on the cruise boat, the Mardi Gras, down in Orlando this time last year for Jaden's senior trip. And you know, we went to some islands. We went to some islands that had some nice palm trees. We went to some islands that had some nice sandy beaches. We went to some islands that had all kinds of things like that. But this island was not that kind of island. It was not even a little deserted island that was like little and small, but it had a little palm tree and some coconuts and all that. This island had been stripped down because it was a former mining island. This island was an island that had been converted to a prison island by the Romans. You see, John the Revelator was on a prison island. He was there, but he was still living life in the Spirit. Can I tell somebody today, you may feel like you're in prison. You may feel like you're in the worst place you could be, but you can still live your life in the Spirit of the Lord. You see, that's the great thing. God living in the Spirit is not just about, it's not just available in the good times, but you can live your life in the Spirit of God no matter how bad the situation around you is. He was living life in the Spirit, and he heard the voice of God, and he saw the greatest revelation of end times known to man. God's voice is heard and glory witnessed in the Spirit. Number three, I told you I'm going to hurry. I want to get them all. See, he saw them in the Spirit, but then he began to understand them in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. You see, flesh can't understand spiritual things. Now, this is going to be just a little bit deep for a spring break, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. But I think if y'all came here, you're ready for this. You see, the flesh, people today, are even Christians a lot of times, are trying to understand the things of the Spirit in the flesh. Can I tell you, you will never understand spiritual things in the flesh. Fleshly people will never grasp spiritual things. In order to understand spiritual things, you must be in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to teach you and lead you and guide you. And I'll tell you this, there is so little understanding of spiritual things because so many don't live life in the Spirit anymore. We have become so carnally minded, we have become so fleshly minded that we no longer live our life in the Spirit, and so little understanding is here of spiritual things anymore. Paul testifies in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 5, that he was caught up into the third heaven, and he heard unspeakable things. The Bible says that were unlawful for man to utter. I don't think it's any question. You can read the man wrote almost two-thirds of the books of the New Testament. Paul was certainly a man that lived in the Spirit. And those who live in the Spirit hear things that people just living in the flesh will never hear. Can I tell you something? As we live in these last days and we want to be free and protected from deception, we're going to have to live in the Spirit so that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Folks, my prayer is, Lord, help me to always have an attentive ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Somebody say amen. Fourthly, God's power is seen in the Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And what happens? We know, I preached this not too long ago. Ezekiel prophesied to dry bones in the Spirit, and the bones came together. We cannot see the power of God manifested unless we do it in the Spirit. And when Ezekiel prophesied and the bones came together, it reminds me that unity comes in the Spirit. How are we going to stay together as the church grows? How are we going to stay together as the days get more and more wicked? How are we going to stay together even in a presidential election year? I believe it's through the Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord brings unity. That's why in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Can I tell you that the power of the Spirit and living in the Spirit goes hand in hand with unity? You're not going to have one and not have the other. It's my prayer for our church that we be a church that is living in the Spirit, and living in the Spirit will bring a unity together. Does that mean that we're always going to agree on every single issue? You absolutely not. But it does mean that we will still be together, that we'll still love one another in the Spirit. Ezekiel prophesied to the wind in the Spirit, and breath came into lifeless bodies. You see, we ask for the moving of the Spirit while we're living in the Spirit. You see, I believe it's only as we begin to press in and we begin to say, Lord, I want to live in the Spirit, that we then begin to pray, Lord, let your Spirit move. It's only when we begin to press in and we begin to live our life in the Spirit. Listen, the flesh isn't going to ask for those kind of things. Listen, the flesh will ask for stuff the flesh needs. The flesh will ask, God, I need some food. The flesh will be willing to say, God, I got some needs. I need to pay a bill. I need some food. I need something. I need my vehicle worked up. God, I've got needs. The flesh will ask for that. But can I tell you, the flesh is never going to ask for the moving of the Spirit. It is only when we begin to live in the Spirit of God that then we begin to ask, as Ezekiel prophesied to the wind, and the wind came down. You know and I know that the wind, the Hebrew in Ezekiel, the pneuma, the wind, always represents the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, when we begin to live in the Spirit, we'll begin to ask again, oh, fresh wind of God, blow in my life, blow in my church, blow in my family. Let the Spirit of God move in our midst. We'll only desire that in the Spirit. Number five, divine strength and comfort is enjoyed in the Spirit. Book of Acts chapter 20 verses 22 through 24 says this, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy
and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want you to recognize this here. I don't want to just blow through this. This is Paul. This is Paul saying, I'm going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing what I'm about to face. You know what? He did not know exactly what he was going to face, but I got a feeling that Paul had a little bit of a feeling of what was going to happen to him. He didn't know all the details. He didn't know all the ins and outs of what was going to happen. But he was able to say, I'm bound in the Spirit. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's being so bound in the Spirit of the Lord that you're willing to walk into the fire, but yet still having peace in your heart. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no way you can do that unless it's in the Spirit. Human flesh can't do that. Human flesh can't say, oh, I'm willing to lay my life. I'm willing to lay it all down for the sake of the gospel. Human flesh cannot do that. The only way that we can ever do that is if we are living life in the Spirit. But here's the great thing that Paul was here saying, that he's like, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm bound in the Spirit, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, that's the kind of peace you can have in the Spirit, to say, I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what hardships are coming. I don't know what trials are coming. I don't know what persecution is coming. I don't know what I'm going to face, but as long as I live my life in the Spirit, none of those other things are going to move me, because I have a purpose, I have a destiny, I have a call of Jesus Christ on my life. And when we live in the Spirit, we shall not be moved by those kind of things that would like to stop us.
Sixth, I'm almost done. To live in the Spirit, the Spirit must be living in you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. You've heard me say this, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it as long as I've got breath in my body. We are not here just to be self-help gurus. I am a firm believer that this book right here, there's a lot of wonderful advice in this book. There is a lot of wisdom in this book. Can I tell you, but this is more than just, I'm dating myself here. Some of y'all, you're not going to have, this is more than just chicken soup for the soul. How many of y'all remember those books? That's been back. Some of y'all don't have a clue. Google it. There were these books, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Listen, there are great books. There are inspirational books. But listen, this book is different, and this book teaches us something very important. When we come to church here, listen, there's a lot of great self-help guys out there. There's a lot of, Zig Ziglar. There's some of those guys that can inspire you. They could do all that. I'm not nearly as good as those guys. I'm not up here as a self-help guru trying to tell you, well, if you'll take these 5 steps, your life will be better. If you'll take these 4 steps, you could be in financial freedom. If you'll take these 3 steps, and that's it. No, here's where it's all got to start. Can I get y'all ready for this? Here's where it's all got to start. It has all got to start with a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So here we are. I've told you. I've announced that I've been preaching this for 3 years. And I've said it. Listen, we've come to the place. I think we're at a place of change. I've told you. Carpet don't matter. Pews don't matter. Chairs don't matter. Pulpit don't matter. Cardboard box don't matter. I'm going to tell you, but there is one of those things that matter. And that is that we can never back away from the fact that we, in order to make it to heaven, we must be born again. I will not stop preaching that we must be born again. If you want to truly live in the Spirit, if you want to live this kind of life, you can't just come into the church and just kind of receive some stuff here and there. You are never truly going to live in the Spirit unless you give your heart to Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Lord comes to live in you. Jesus, the Bible said it right here, that if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, that you are not of His. But I want to tell you today that when you confess your sins and you confess your sins to God and you accept Him as your Savior, He'll forgive you of your sins. Is, and His Spirit will come and live inside of you and you become His. Give God praise if you believe that. To experience a baptism, I'm going to be preaching on this in weeks and months to come. To experience a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must be saved. Salvation is the starting point for all things in the Spirit. Seventh and finally, if I can get some musicians to come. And if you're a note taker, you may want to take these, so don't put all your stuff up yet. These are, I'm going to give you some quick things right here. Number seven, those who live in the Spirit work more effectively for the Lord. Serving, Acts 6 and 3. Brothers and sisters, to seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, we will turn this responsibility over to them. Preaching, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Teaching, Acts chapter 18, verses 24 and 25. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Singing. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, the second part of verse 15. Says, I will sing also with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Praying, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, the first part of that verse, I probably should have flipped them around. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Romans 8. 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, I've been preaching in Pentecost all since I received the call at 16, and I hear that question. I heard it just the other day. What about speaking in tongues? Are you supposed to speak in tongues even when it's not a tongues and interpretation? What's the difference? Absolutely, there's a difference. I believe that there are times that the Bible tells us of the gifts of tongues and interpretation where the Spirit of God will move through us and we'll give a message that is meant for the whole church. But the Bible also talks about this where it says that we will pray in the Spirit and I will pray in the understanding. Folks, there are times that I don't know what I'm going to face. We're told in Romans 8 and 26 when we don't know what we're supposed to pray like we should, it takes the Holy Spirit of God making intercession for us. Can I tell you, I believe as a Spirit-filled preacher that there are times where the Spirit of the living God is going to pray through us. It's not for the whole church. It's not for anybody else. It is the Spirit of God leading and guiding our prayers. He's praying in a way that we don't understand, and He's praying in a way that the enemy doesn't even understand. He's making intercession that you and I need. We need to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand with me if you would, please. Give Him praise. That's all right. Give Him praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Isn't that the opposite of what our society tells us right now? You need what you want. You deserve what you want. That's what society tells us. Do what feels good. Do what you want to do. But here we find Scripture clearly saying, walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify the flesh, because the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Your flesh, my flesh, is craving what is opposite of what the Spirit wants for us. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. That is so opposite of what society is trying to feed us right now. It says just do whatever you want. But folks, the Spirit of the Lord says no. Don't do whatever you want. Because when we do whatever we want, it takes us back to the garden where Adam and Eve did whatever they want. And we've been on that road for a long time. We must live in the Spirit. When we live and we walk in the Spirit, we won't desire the things contrary to the Lord's desires. You say, Pastor, are you saying you'll never have a desire for anything bad? Absolutely not, because I believe when we're born again that our spirit man, we're made anew. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't know about y'all, but even when I got saved, this old thing's still the same. No, it's not even the same. It's getting older and slower and fatter, and it hurts more. As long as we're living in these fleshly bodies, it's not going to be until after we go, either by way of the rapture or by the way of the grave, that we're given that glorified body. And thankfully, that glorified body won't have the same fleshly desires. But as long as we're living in this old fleshly body, that war is going to be going on. We've got to learn to walk in the Spirit, so that we say, Lord, I want to walk in your Spirit. I don't want to let my flesh win out. My flesh wants to lash out. My flesh wants to hate. My flesh wants to get revenge. My flesh wants to climb to the top and push everybody else down. Come on now. You know, when we say the flesh, so many times all we think about is the sexual stuff, but there's so much more than that. The flesh wants to push everybody else down so that we can climb up. The flesh loves that Old Testament eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. The flesh loves that kind of stuff, but the Spirit of the Lord in us, when we live in the Spirit. Jesus hanging on the cross as they mocked him, beat him, spit on him, crucified him. As Jesus looks, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness for others is only going to come when we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what I want to give you this morning. If you're here and you say, Pastor, it's my desire to walk in the Spirit. I want to live my life in the Spirit of God.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. To find out more about us, follow us on social media at StarkvilleCOG. Special thanks to those who generously support this ministry. If you would like to give, visit us at StarkvilleCOG.com/give. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.